people and worship Him. Beloved, nothing brings me more joy than to see that this church wants to honor the Lord and wants to exalt His name. He wants to honor Christ because Christ is our only hope. We have no greater treasure in our lives than Christ, the Son of God. He is the reason that we are called saints. He is the reason that we are called church. So my goal today is to bring glory to His name through this preaching. So this morning, I want to talk to you about when God leads His people into the wilderness. When God leads His people into the wilderness. And this is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to be looking only the first three verses. So, as you are preparing your Bibles to read this text, I want to ask you please to pray for this word, to pray for this time that we're going to be listening from our Lord. So let's open our Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 8. And if you are able, please stand up so we can honor God's word. The Word of God says, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you might live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep His commandments or not. And He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, as we stand before You, in the name of Christ our Lord, we ask for Your blessing. Lord, help us. We need You. Bless Your people. Speak to our hearts and to our minds. Help us to understand what is the purpose that You brought us here today. What do You want to tell us, Lord? Please help us to understand. Open our understanding, our ears to hear. Bless Your church. Help me, Lord, to deliver Your message clearly and with power, that Your name can be glorified. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever had a period of time in your life when you feel like your whole world is just collapsing? A time of affliction, time of suffering, a time where you just feel like you are in a wilderness, alone, afraid and hopeless. And you just don't know what to do. You feel like not even God is with you. You feel desperate. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Perhaps some of you are going through that season right now. And you are confused. These periods of times are called wilderness. Sometimes, due to our own sin, we introduce ourselves into wilderness. We make the wrong choices. Our sinful desires is making us to do the wrong things. And from that day, we make decisions that we introduce ourselves into these periods of times of suffering. But this is not the type of wilderness that I'm talking about here. The type of wilderness that I'm talking about here is when you made the decision to follow the Lord. You want to serve Him. You love Him. And then the Lord Himself leads you into a wilderness. And you just don't understand why this is happening to you. You don't understand. And you ask God, why, Lord? Why me? Why my family? Why my children? Why my church? Why we are going through this season of affliction, pain, suffering? We don't understand, Lord. Well, today the Lord wants to answer these questions, beloved, through this text in Deuteronomy chapter 8. From the wilderness of Israel, we'll learn three lessons that it will help us to understand the meaning of our wilderness. Three lessons. First, we need to know that the wilderness is a place of preparation. Preparation. Second, we will see that the wilderness is a place of revelation. It's a place of revelation. And thirdly, we will see that the wilderness, it's a place of a blessing. It's a blessing. So I pray that you can be encouraged this morning by the Lord, and you can understand why all the hardships and why your trials, why your tribulations. But all this has a purpose and a meaning. It's in God's plan not to harm you, not to kill you, but to bless you. So let us see first that a wilderness, it's a place of preparation. Notice one more time, verses 1 and 2. The whole commandment that I command you today, you should be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord sought to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep His commandments or not. Here Moses is at the end of his life. He's 120 years old. And he's given the people of Israel the final instructions right before they enter into this land. From this text, we learn first that it was the Lord Himself who led these people into the wilderness right before they get to the promised land. It was God's plan. And second, we learned that the wilderness had a purpose for Israel. Now, let's be honest here, beloved. Who wants to be in a wilderness? Who wants to be in a place of isolation? This is a place where you get fatigue. This is a place of suffering, pain. No one wants to be in a wilderness suffering. 40 years Israel was in the wilderness. 40 years. From a man perspective, this plan, it looks like a failure in God's plan. God's people in pain. God's people waiting and waiting and waited in the wilderness. At that time, they didn't understand why. They didn't understand the purpose of the wilderness. But at the end of the journey, now we see here that the Lord had a purpose in the wilderness for these people. It's amazing. From a divine perspective, this was a tool that God was using to prepare His people for the future. That is amazing. These people, Israel thought they were ready to enter into the promised land right away. But they didn't know that in this journey, they will have to face giants, strong nations, nations that wanted to kill them, destroy them. They needed to be prepared for what was laying ahead of them. Not only that, but Israel needed to learn that they couldn't serve God with the same heart that they had in Egypt. You see, these people, they spent 430 years in Egypt, in slavery, learning the culture, embracing idolatry. They forgot about the Lord. They worshiped Egyptian idols and God. They needed to learn obedience. They needed to learn who this God is, who delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh. They needed to learn His law, God's law. They needed to learn that God is holy. They needed to learn that God is a provider for them. They needed to learn that there was no God like the God of Israel, mighty and powerful. They needed to learn how to submit themselves to their Redeemer. How to wait patiently upon Him. How to pray and cry out to Him. How to depend only in the Lord, the God Almighty. All these things Israel needed to learn before they enter into the promised land. And the Lord was using this wilderness to teach them all these things to the nation of Israel. Beloved, this is the same way God is working with His church right now. He delivered us not from the hands of a nation like Egypt, but from the hands from sin and darkness. He's our great God and Savior. And right now, we are marching to our promised land. We haven't get to glory yet. Our bodies have not been yet glorified. We're still in this wilderness, but it's in this wilderness that the Lord is preparing our lives for glory. There are so many areas in our lives that they need to be sanctified. Idols in our hearts that the Lord needs to remove from us. Just like He did with Israel. And the Lord is using our wilderness to prepare us because we still have battles to fight. You don't know what lays ahead of you. We don't know. We have no idea. But the Lord is preparing His church. God will use our affliction to make us useful for His kingdom. Listen, I don't know what is your wilderness. I have no idea. Is it depression? Is it a spiritual fatigue? Is it discouragement? Is it a broken relationship with your spouse or with your children? Or perhaps a sickness? What is your wilderness? Well, today I want to encourage you to start looking at your affliction from a divine perspective. And not from a human perspective. If you are a child of God and you are in this season of suffering, pain, trial, tribulation, I want to remind you today, God is in control of all things. He is sovereign. He is the Almighty God. There is no God like our God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the Most High. He knows what you're going through right now. And He's using your affliction to prepare your life for what lays ahead. I want you to listen to what Matthew Henry said. Matthew Henry said this. Extraordinary afflictions are not always the punishment of extraordinary sins. But sometimes the trial of extraordinary graces. Sanctified afflictions are a spiritual promotion. Wow. Listen. Did you know that God prepared Moses in the wilderness to be the leader that he was with Israel? God prepared Abraham in the wilderness. It was in the wilderness that God was preparing Jacob. It was in the wilderness that God prepared David to be the next king of Israel and to kill Goliath, the enemy of God's people. It was in the wilderness. It was also in the wilderness where David wrote beautiful Psalms. Psalm like Psalm 63. It was in the wilderness where God prepared Elijah once again to be his prophet. It was in the wilderness where God prepared John the Baptist. It was in the wilderness where our Lord Jesus spent 40 days before he started his public ministry. It was in the wilderness. Do not despise your wilderness because God is doing something in your life. He's doing something in our church. He's doing something with our families. He's preparing us for what lays ahead. Psalm 119:71 says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted from my learn to your statutes." God is preparing us. Secondly, let us see that the wilderness is a place of revelation. The wilderness is a place of revelation. And from this second point of our sermon, I want to talk about first what God revealed to us in the wilderness. What God revealed to us in the wilderness. And second, what our hearts reveal to God in our wilderness. What our hearts reveal to God in our wilderness. First, let's talk about what God revealed to us in our wilderness. And I want to mention at least 10 things that I see here in the journey of Israel in the wilderness that God revealed to His people. Number one, He revealed His love in the wilderness. Two, He reveals His faithfulness. Oh, the Lord was so faithful with these people. Three, He revealed His power. His power. Fourth, He reveals His protection. Fifth, He reveals His provision. Sixth, He reveals His word. 7, he reveals his sovereignty. 8, he reveals his glory. 9, he reveals his plan. And 10, he reveals his promises. It's amazing. All this in the wilderness. Meditate in the journey of Israel in the wilderness. Meditate how they saw so many signs and wonders given by the Lord. They saw with their own eyes how the Lord was leading them day and night. He gave them manna from heaven. He gave them water out of the rock for their thirst. The angel of the Lord was going before them. He protected them from the attacks of the enemy. He opened the Red Sea when Israel thought that surely they were going to die. What a great God, and what a great and mighty God we serve, beloved. The Lord will always make a way where it doesn't seem to be a way. I mean, think about how many times Israel, they thought they were going to die in the wilderness. Think about it. But it was there where God revealed all these things that I already mentioned to you. It was there where Israel saw more clearly the power of God. Be still and know that the Lord will reveal to you His faithfulness, His protection, His provision, His promises, His love, His power. Oh, beloved, thank God for our wilderness. Because it is in our wilderness that you will see more clearly God's presence in your life. Richard Sibbes, the great Puritan of the 16th century, said this: suffering produces a wound that allows the Christians to value Christ above everything else. When all is well, it is more difficult to see the treasure that is Christ. But when trials come, nothing comforts the soul like the riches of Christ. Nothing makes a Christian carefree like the riches of Christ. Even when suffering plagues the believer's body or mind, the soul can fall more and more in love with the beauty of Christ. This is amazing. This is our God. This is what He revealed to us in our wilderness. But now let's talk about what our hearts reveal to God in our wilderness. There is a saying that says, crisis reveals characters. It reveals characters. Listen, if you really want to know where you stand with the Lord, a season of difficult times in your life will reveal who you really are and where your faith stands with the Lord. Martin Luther King Jr. says, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in a moment of comfort or convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Controversy. You know, one of the things COVID-19 revealed in churches was faithfulness to the Lord. Faithfulness to the Lord. COVID was the perfect excuse for many people to abandon their churches, to abandon the Lord. They should walk away from God. That was the perfect excuse. But the one who stay and persevere in the midst of this intense and global pressure, we became a stronger church. Difficult times in the church will demonstrate who you really are. Difficult times in our church will demonstrate if you really want to stay and fight and persevere for the sake of Christ and for the sake of His church. Now let me take you for a moment to the book of Numbers chapter 14. I want to show you something there. And if you can, turn with me there, chapter 14, Numbers chapter 14. This is the story of the 12 spies that Moses sent out to spy out Canaan for 40 days. And when they returned from spying out the land, they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And 10 of those 12 spies gave the people of Israel bad news. Bad news. They told them, you know what? Forget it. We're not going to make it. This is an impossible mission. The people in the other land, in the other side, are so much stronger than us. They are giants. Their cities are fortified and too big, too strong. Might as well die here, or let's go, you know what? Let's go back to where we came from. In other words, they were not believing the promises of God. When He told them that He was going to give them the promised land, and He was going to be with them even in difficult times, situations. And the Bible says that all the people of Israel, at that time when they received the bad news from the 10 spies, they raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And fear invaded their hearts, and they were so fearful. And in the midst of all this, they got angry with Moses and Aaron, and they wanted to kill them. Now the whole nation, picture this, now the whole nation, it's blaming their leadership. Look what is happening to us. Look what is happening to our children, to the congregation. This is all your fault, Moses. This is all your fault, Aaron. This is a bad leadership. Beloved, it's so easy to blame others when we are going through hardships, tribulations, problems, when we are in our wilderness, when we face our giants. It's so easy to blame the leadership in the church when we face all kinds of problems. You want to know what the sad part is of all this? Our own people in the church spreading doubts, fear, discouragement. And the next thing you know, now they all want to give up. Nobody wants to face the giant that is in front of us. Nobody wants to persevere. Nobody wants to fight. Nobody wants to keep pressing forward. Let's give up. They don't believe the promises of God when He said, I will never abandon you. I am your provider. I will sustain my people. Often we forget that the Lord will fight the battle for us. That He is with us. That we are His people and He will sustain us. He will give us the victory. If we believe in Him, if we trust Him, often we forget that He is all-powerful and sovereign. That shall encourage us and bring us peace in our hearts. Now I want to show you how Joshua and Caleb reacted to this situation. And look with me in verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, I hope I said that right, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. Verse 7. And said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we pass through to spy it out, is an exceedingly good land. Verse 8. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Wow. Wow. Here we have two different groups of people. Two different reactions. Same wilderness. My question for you this morning is, what group you identify yourself with? With Joshua, Caleb, Aaron, and Moses that trusted the Lord in a moment of a difficult situation? Or the rest of the people of Israel who were fearful, wanted to give up, wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to stop fighting. They wanted to surrender. They were blaming the leadership. Instead of blaming themselves for not trusting in God. You see, beloved, the wilderness will reveal what is in your heart. So I want to encourage you this morning to lift up your eyes to heaven and start trusting the Lord in your wilderness. Finally, let us consider how this wilderness is a place of blessing. The wilderness is a place of blessing. When we think of a wilderness, surely we think right away in a difficult situation, a place of affliction, fatigue. I mean, who wants to be in the wilderness? Nobody wants to be in a wilderness. Nobody wants to be in that place. Well, let me tell you this. God blessed Israel over and over and over in the wilderness. It's amazing when you study carefully the journey of Israel in the wilderness, you will see over and over and over how God was blessing His people. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of affliction, in the midst of pain, in the midst of desperation, God was blessing His people. Let me show you what Moses told the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you are going through this great wilderness. Wow. These 40 years, the Lord God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. That is amazing. That is amazing. If this is not moving your heart, I don't know what's going to move your heart. Just to be able to see that in our wilderness, God is with us. We lack nothing. From this text, I want to consider and meditate three things really, really fast. Three things. Number one, God knows you are in the wilderness. He knows. This was true for Israel, and this is true for us. He's not ignoring our pain. He's aware of what we are going through. He cares for us. And He will bless us in the wilderness. Number two, for all this time that you have been in the wilderness, God has been with you. God has been with us. God has been with this church. He's aware of what we're going through. Moses is telling the people of Israel here in this text, for 40 years, the Lord God has been with you. This is the greatest blessing that a person can receive, that a nation can receive, to be able to have the Almighty God in our side, with us. Remember Psalm 23 verse 4. Psalm 23 verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's an amazing text. We often get too familiar with this type of Bible verses, and we don't meditate. We don't get deep in this amazing text. You know by heart, Psalm 23. And we often, we read it too fast. We don't see the riches of this text. Or maybe the one in Isaiah 43 verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not burn, and the flames shall not consume you. Remember, just like He was with Israel in the wilderness, He's with you in your wilderness. Just like He was with Daniel in the lion's den, He's with you in your wilderness. Just like He was with Joseph when he was a slave in Egypt, so He's with you in your suffering. Just like He was with David when he was being persecuted by Saul in the wilderness, so He's with you when you are being persecuted with all kinds of afflictions. His faithfulness is majestic. His love is incomprehensible. His power is unlimited. What a great God we serve. He's amazing. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us always, until the end of the world. John Owen said this: we will not know the power of grace until we feel the power of testing. We must be tried to realize the glory of being preserved. That is amazing. Lastly, as I'm closing here, notice how Moses is telling the Israelites in Deuteronomy 2:7, these 40 years the Lord God has been with you, you have lacked nothing. 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 You have been completely blessed. You have everything you needed. The Lord has supplied every need in your life. Oh, the great love of God for sinners. The great faithfulness of the Lord, blessing us over and over and over. Even in our wilderness, we receive blessing upon blessing. And with our own eyes, we see the great power of God delivering us from our sufferings. But the best part of this blessing is that in our wilderness, His presence is with us. And in that wilderness, we get closer to the Lord in prayer, in supplication. We feel His love, His compassion. If you have Christ, you have everything. For Christ is the greatest treasure that a person can possess. I don't get tired of saying this, beloved. Christ, our only hope. We have been blessed. This is exactly what Paul is saying in his doxology in Ephesians chapter 1. When he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Oh, the Father
has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places because of Christ. We are forgiven by the Father because of Christ. We are made new creatures because of Christ. We receive His promises because of Christ. We are called children of God because of Christ. And definitely we have the Holy Spirit in our lives because of Christ. Christ, our only hope. Christ, the bread of life. Christ, the rock that sustains His people. Christ, the one who is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. We are blessed in Christ. Glory to our Savior. Glory to our Redeemer. I want to just close with the following. If you are here, and you don't have Christ in your life, let me tell you this. You are in a great danger. For the sin, our sins, are condemned in us. And we are going straight to hell without Christ. That is why, in the great love of the Father, He sent His Son to save us, to redeem us, to bring you out of this dark world, to make us a new creature, new people, to make us His children. You know you are a sinner and you need Christ, the Savior of the world. Come to Him. Come to Christ. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." This is His promise. Blessed be our Savior. To Him be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for blessing us with this word and reminding us that we are Your children. And that our wilderness have a purpose in Your divine plan. Help us, O Lord, to submit to You and to embrace whatever we are going through. Put in our faith in You, trust in You, that You are working in our lives to make us better, to sanctify us, to prepare us for what lays ahead. I thank You. Bless this message, O God, and bless Your people. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.